I'd like to start in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, I'll be doing 3 points this evening. The first one will be sin, righteousness, and then judgment to come. And this is kind of from a verse that the Lord Jesus said, talking about this, about the Holy Spirit when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And so this is very important, and this really shows what the gospel leads, what the gospel is leading up to. So Romans 3 and verse 9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." May God bless his word. So, you may wonder, why are we preaching on sin and righteousness and judgment to come? Isn't this a gospel meeting? Doesn't the gospel mean good news, right? And this doesn't sound like good news, but we'll get to that. But the thing is, before you have good news, you need to have bad news. It's like a doctor. You come to the doctor, and the doctor says, there's hope. We can have good news surgery, and there'll be a cure. And you can live. And you'll be like, don't touch me. I'm good. I'm perfectly healthy. But then once you diagnose the problem, once the doctor says, you have cancer in your brain, and you have a month to live, then you'll be like, please do the cure. And so this is really what the gospel is. You won't really appreciate it until the problem is presented. This is why we must dive into sin. What is sin? And then righteousness. What's God's righteousness and why he must judge sin before we can get to Christ and what he has done and what that really means. So our first point, sin. So what is sin? Sin is really rebellion against God's law. But I was actually reading a book today, and he was talking about it's more than that. It's not even just rebellion against God's law. It's rebellion to it's against his very nature. It's against his very character. And we don't realize the holiness of God. And it really is, I've heard this illustration. It's like we trying to work our way to heaven is like one person being on Mount Everest and another person being, and then some low murderer being in Mariana Trench. But when you look at it from the moon, it's all the same. We're all guilty before God. So you might ask, what's the big deal? We all mess up. I mean, boys will be boys, whatever. We all do bad things, right? But it's not that way, because God's standard is absolute perfection and holiness. The scriptures tell us we're enmity. Our sins have made us enmity or enemies with God. And so, really, we are all born under sin. And as we're reading here, it says, this verse because it's been going through in Romans 3, talking about the guilty, how the Jews are guilty before God, and the Gentiles. And it says, "For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And God sees our hearts." And that's the thing, because in the religion of Islam, they teach that God sees your actions, but they don't see your thoughts. So Allah doesn't see your thoughts. So that gives them a measure of comfort, because they know, because the thought, every thought of evil, and the Bible says that every thought of man is evil continually. But God can see our thoughts. And so just want to go through the Ten Commandments here, because really the law is a mirror to show us our own sinfulness. It's like looking at a mirror. It's not like you don't wash your face with the mirror. You see it in the law, so you don't try to follow the law to get to heaven. So have you ever told a lie? And I know we all have. And then, but it doesn't go there. You can break down a lie into so many different categories. Have you ever fibbed? Have you ever told a white lie? An exaggeration? Not telling the whole truth? And you can go down, down, down the list. I'm not sure how far you could go, but we realize we're all liars. And because God's standard is so holy, he takes that very seriously. He even says in the Bible, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And what about stealing? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever coveted? Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever murdered? Well, you might say, oh, that one I haven't done. But no, we're all guilty in there, because the Lord Jesus, when he came, he said, if you hate anybody, you're murdering them in your heart, basically. That's basically what you're doing. And same with committing adultery. Oh, I've never done that. Well, the Lord Jesus says if you've looked with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So the Lord Jesus goes right to the problem, right to the heart. And he shows we're all guilty before God. And that's not even the whole badness of it. We're guilty. We can already see we're guilty. But it's not just the bad things we do. It's the good things we don't do. And there's a lot of things that we don't do that we should do. And then even further, the Bible takes it a step further to show us that we are absolutely depraved. As he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so we sin a lot based on that standard. And so we all have to hang our heads in shame and say, we are guilty. As we were reading, Romans 3:19, it says, Now, based on that context, like, this is what the law has shown us. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And now we realize we can say, our mouths have been stopped. And all the world, it says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So because we see that we are sinners, there is absolutely no way that we can work our way to heaven in any way. So that brings me to my second point, which is righteousness. And so, sin, what really matters about sin is because God is so holy, he must punish sin. And that shows his absolute character and nature, his perfect holiness that we can't even begin to describe. Because God is holy, he cannot allow one sin into heaven. Otherwise, it would cease to be heaven, really. The Bible talks about God's righteousness and the judgment to come in very stark terms. It says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it also says, our God is a consuming fire. And it says, let God be true and every man a liar. So you can't debate God on this, because God says we are guilty before God. We have broken the law, we must pay the fine. It's it. And so the really reality of this, what's the consequences of this really? Our sin, God's righteousness, what does that mean? Well, the Bible teaches that if you're not saved and you die, God must put you in hell. And it's the only thing that is righteous to do. What else must he do for the Christ rejecter? And then after a time in hell, you'll be brought to the great white throne. And there, God will look and see if your name is in the book of life. And if it's not, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And really, a lot of people try to ignore this truth, but it is the reality. And we're not trying to scare you. It's just, that's what's going to happen to every single one of us if we're not saved. And the scriptures tell us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you say, eternal. Really? Why eternal? That seems like kind of harsh. But and God is a God of love, and that is true. It's very true. But God is a God of righteousness and justice and holiness, and sin must be paid for. The reason hell is eternal, that we will never not get out of hell, that we'll never get out of hell, is because we'll never be able to atone for our sins. It's because we're sinners. And so even all the judgment God will pour on us in hell, it still will not atone, because we are sinners in our very nature. And that's why the Lord Jesus had to come, because a sinless one had to pay for our sin, because as sinners we can't do it on our own. And that's the problem with really so many other religions. It depicts God as a God of compassion, but not a God of justice. And that really is so true. Like, what the religion in Islam says, they say, If your good outweighs your bad, then you can go to heaven. But that doesn't work. It's imagine a man who hears somehow, a scientist figures out an earthquake is coming. And he sounds the alarm, and he saves thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. As a direct result of his actions, all these people are saved. So in that sort of justice system, he's already 1,000,000% on the good side. So then he robs a bank, and he comes before the judge. And he says, well, my good outweighed my bad. The judge will say, that's not how it works. The good things you do, and the Bible even says all our righteousness is as filthy rags, so it's not even the good things we do. But from a human standpoint, these morally good things we do, they're absolutely useless. They're absolutely useless. For sure in a court of law here on earth, and how much more God of heaven. So that brings me to my third point, judgment. And this is a scary thought, the thought of judgment. But it's also a happy thought for those of us who are believers, because someone else has paid our judgment. Someone else has been judged for us. So, but the reality is, for everyone who is not saved, God will judge you personally for every sin you have committed. And this is a really serious thought, because imagine 100 years from today, where will you be? Because each of us will die. And as I'm getting older, I'm beginning to see the reality of this more. As a kid, I thought I was like, I'm always going to live and have a great time. But now as I get older and I realize months are passing by like this, and you could see how fast you could come to the end of the road. And so it really is important, when you die, where will you be? And we were even thinking the tragedy in BC where all these precious kids were shot. And we always say, man, that's horrible, but we never really think, what if that was you? Because freak things happen to people. God forbid, but if a shooter came into this building right now and you went to eternity, where would you be? It's the reality each one of us has to face, especially in this world today. Like, death is real, and death is horrible. So we have committed an infinite offense against the holy God, and he's not afraid to judge sinners, really. Back 4,000 years ago, there was probably billions of people. 5 billion, 10, 20 billion, we don't know. It could have been 1 billion. A lot of people were on the earth, and they were all sinning. They were all doing wicked deeds and wicked, wicked things. And God said to Noah, one of the only righteous men left, and he said, build an ark. Put all the animals into it, two from every kind, and put you and your sons and your daughters into the ark. And I'll save you, but the rest of humanity I'll destroy, for I have regretted that I have made them. And that's what he did. And 120 years later, billions of people were killed. And they went to hell, because that's the reality, because that's what we all deserve. And you might say, that's unjust. How can God send people to hell? But it's perfectly just. If God had not even sent the Lord Jesus to be a substitute, we had all died and gone to hell, and that God had not redeemed us, that would be completely just. Because he is a just God, and he must punish sin. So like a judge would pronounce a criminal guilty, God must condemn us to hell. And it's forever. It's never to come back. And I was talking to a guy yesterday about this, and he's like, I was raised in a Christian home, and I talked to the pastor about all this stuff, but I could never get it, and so now I'm just going to live and do all the sinning I want, and when I die, that's it. And I'm like, what about hell? What if that's real? He's like, I don't care. I'm like, but it's forever. Like, and I told him an illustration. Imagine a great metal ball the size of the earth. Try to imagine that in your mind. Imagine every 1,000 years, a bird comes with a little scarf and wipes it on the ball. Then 1,000 years goes by, and he does it again. After the whole ball has been worn down, eternity hasn't even started. And I told this to him, and I'm like, it's important. What if you're going to be in torment forever. Will that be worth it? And he's like, I still don't care. I do not care. And I just looked, and I was just like, shook my head, because I was like, you don't know what you're risking. And so it really is so important to be serious about your soul and to be serious about, this is the reality and I need to get this right before God. This is what happened to me. I was saved. I realized that in a point in my life, I realized I'm lost, I'm headed to hell, and I need to be saved. And I cried out to God, realizing there was nothing I could do to save myself. So it really is a very sad reality. Imagine being in hell, being here, listening to the gospel, and then being in hell, realizing you're never going to get out, and realizing the fear that will grip you. Imagine nothing but darkness and flames. Yeah, it's really sad. It's really the reality. I'm not trying to scare you here. It's just, this is what God says. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus talked about hell more than he did about heaven. He said, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And I was talking to another person about this, and she was like, God is a God of love. He would never send someone to hell. And I was telling her this, but she wouldn't listen, about how the Lord Jesus talked more about hell than heaven. Flee from the wrath to come. Repent and believe the gospel. So it's important. It really is the reality of what we're all facing here. And the last few weeks, we've been talking about this and how it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this is judgment. And your deeds will all be sentenced by God, and you will be judged, and he will be perfectly righteous and perfectly vindicated. And so that is what we're facing here tonight. But the story doesn't end there. Because if we was just talking about this, our sin, God's righteousness, and the judgment that is to come, we wouldn't be having this message. Because as I said, you need to have the bad news before you have the good news. You need to have the disease. You need to tell someone about the disease before you can tell someone about the cure. And so that's really what we have. Now that we've established God's holiness and his justice, and how he must punish sin, and now he must punish us for being evil in his sight, we can then look at the words here, verse 21. And I left this out, because I was just focusing on this thing. But it says, so verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So really, that's the good news. God has died in our place. He can forgive us because of this and grant us everlasting life in heaven. But you might say, how is this possible? I thought you said God was just. How can he let such sinners such as us into his holy heaven to be with him, so holy and just, the three times holy God? The reason is because God laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity that my sins deserve to pay, the punishment that I deserve to pay in hell, that cup that would last for eternity, that I could never extinguish on my own. God took that cup and he poured it out on the Lord Jesus, and there the Lord Jesus died for us. And why he would love us, we would never know. It says, the very fact that he would look down upon such a race of wicked sinners is gracious. In Psalms it says, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He didn't want to send us to hell, but he couldn't ignore our sin, because he would be a corrupt judge. That's not love, that's corruption. If a judge says to the criminal, I love you and I'm going to let you go, that's not just, that's corrupt. That's not love. That's not love toward the murderer. What about the people that he's affected? And so that's really the reality. So the reality is God had a wonderful plan of salvation. It was wrought before the foundation of the world, before man had ever sinned. Before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of time, God had it in his heart to send the Lord Jesus, to be a substitute, because he knew what was going to happen. And like how the fall, how there was the first people, Adam and Eve, and God told them, you must not eat of this one fruit, or this one tree. If you eat it, you will die. One simple command. And you might say, how does taking a fruit and eating it damn the world? How could that be? Well, it wasn't just that. It was really shaking their fist at God and rebelling against him. We know what you said. We know what you want. We know that this is completely unrighteous and unjust for us to do, but we will do it anyway. And that's been the heart of man ever since. We are evil and we disobey God all the time. But the beautiful thing is, after this happened, after they had taken the fruit, God said to them, he shall bruise thy head. He gave a prophecy. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Basically saying about the seed of the woman, which down through the ages was the Lord Jesus, would crush the head of the serpent, the devil, the one who had deceived them. And he shall bruise his heel. Yes, Satan would attack the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus would have the victory and destroy him. So that's really the amazing message of the gospel. Jesus coming down from heaven. And he's God. That's why he's the only one who is sinless is God. And so the only way we could be redeemed is if a sinless one came. So therefore, God had to come down if he was to redeem us. And he loved us so much that he was willing to do this. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven. He was sinless. In him was no sin. He did no sin, and he knew no sin. And he conquered sin, death, and hell. And it wasn't what man did to him. That wasn't what paid for our sin. As brutal as that was, the whip being put into the back, his back being as a plowed field, the crown of thorns placed on his head, all those agonies, the creatures trying to destroy the Creator. But it was what God did to him. And on the cross, God poured out our judgment upon him. And now he can legally dismiss our case. Based on the court of law, it makes sense. And even down in the chapter, we'll keep reading. This is such an amazing chapter. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, like someone who's taking care of the sins of the world through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. And this is what I want to get here, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so this is the key. His justice can be met, but love can be there also. It's like the verse in the Old Testament, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It's this God's holiness and his righteousness. How could they be reconciled with his love? But the reason and how could he redeem humanity when he had to punish humanity? But he paid for our sin on the cross. And now he can legally dismiss our case. And this is really the whole idea of working our way to heaven based on all this is totally unscriptural. And it doesn't even make sense. Imagine in a court of law. Imagine trying to tell the judge, but I gave $10,000 to charity. I helped the old lady on the street. I did whatever thing that is what is good and respectable in our society. The judge doesn't care. And that's what every single religion gets wrong in the world except for Christianity. Every religion says, we must work our way to God. But Christianity says, we cannot work our way to God. God had to send the Lord Jesus to pay for our sin so he could redeem us. So it's like the other religions, it's a work of man. But Christianity is a work of God. It's only a work of God because we can't get saved on our own. We can't be saved. We can't merit salvation on our own. We can't get to heaven on our own works. It's only what Christ has done for us. So It says, even in the Bible, it says, really precious verse, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's only through Christ. And we can keep reading this chapter. Let's read the next verse, or two verses. Where is boasting then? Where is it? It's excluded. It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is what Paul is trying to say. You cannot be saved by your own works. It doesn't work, because we're sinners and we're going to hell as is. Even if you could be sinless from this point on to your death, all the past sins that you have done, the very nature, your very sin nature, damns you to hell. There's nothing you can do. It's only what God has done. And you might say, hold on. Why does the Lord Jesus' death pay for however many people there were in the whole world for all of human history? Maybe 100 billion, 120 billion people, whatever it was. How could one man pay for all of humanity's sins? It's because he's God. He's sinless. I heard this really good illustration. It's like, imagine you went to Donald Trump today. Imagine as a person against the gospel, trying to say this. I read this in a book once. Imagine you went to Donald Trump and say, the debt is $38 trillion. Okay, here's $1, that should cover it. See, in that logic, it doesn't make sense. But the reason why that's a wrong sort of logic is because you're missing the point that he's sinless. And I read this in a book about how this Muslim was debating this Christian. He was saying this. Look, I imagine just giving him $1 and saying that should cover the debt. That doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And then the Christian was like, no, you missed the point. It's not $1. It's an infinite bank account. It's because he's sinless, because he's God. He can pay for all of the sins of humanity for the whole world because his bank account is limitless. The work of Christ is completely satisfied God for the whole sin, all the sins of the whole world for all of human history. And it's just. It's perfectly righteous. So it's an amazing, amazing thing. The song that it's a really good song. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. So we've looked at our situation. We are sinners. We've offended God. God is holy and cannot let sin send into heaven. Because of this, he must judge us, the judgment. But so you can either be judged for your own sins in hell. That's one option for judgment. Or the other option is you trust Christ to be your Savior. And then let him take that judgment for you. Like saying to the judge, yes, I accept you stepping down from your throne and taking the death penalty for me. I accept that. That sort of idea. It's like taking a gift. If you give a gift to somebody, that really is what it is here. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you give a gift to somebody, it's of no use to them if they don't take it. It's completely void. If I write a check for somebody but they don't deposit it, that check is useless. It's just a slip of paper. It doesn't mean anything to them. So you have to trust Christ. That's the key. Just because Christ has died doesn't mean you're saved. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you've always believed it doesn't mean that you're saved. The Bible doesn't say, whosoever has always believed the Bible shall not perish. It's whosoever believeth, present tense in him, shall have everlasting life. So if you don't see that gift, God has no choice but to judge you in hell for eternity. So trust Christ. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. It's the most important decision of your life. It's everlasting. You will exist forever. Have you ever really given the serious thought that your own mortality is real? You will not live forever on this earth, but you will live forever as a soul. And you need to know where you will go. Where will you be when you die? Provision has been made in Christ. Accept his gift. And this is what I did. This is what happened. right where Mr. McCammon is sitting right now. I was sat in that seat, and I realized I'm a lost, guilty sinner. After months of struggling, months of trying to get saved on my own, months of trying to believe, months of making false professions, telling people I was saved when I wasn't, I realized completely broken. It's like, I cannot do it. And I just simply rested on what Christ had done. And that was the day of salvation. July 11, 2017 at 8:37 p.m. There has to be a specific moment. You don't have to remember that exact date, but there has to be that time in your life where you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. So do you have that moment? Are you saved? Do you have that moment where you trusted Christ to be your own personal Savior? Have you accepted that gift? If you haven't, you're lost and you're headed for hell. So trust Christ. He'll save you, and you'll never see the flames of hell, and you'll be with Christ forever. Just trust him tonight. May God bless his word. Let's pray.